It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome back to Health Talk. My name is Haley Fields, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me, as always, is Dr. Scott Looper. Dr. Looper is a naturopathic doctor here in Fairbanks, and today we are talking about how to get healthy. How are you, Dr. Looper?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I love it that the weather's been warming up. It's been fabulous.
That second winter didn't take too long. That was a few days.
I talked to my daughter who lives in California about how we had warmed up a few weeks ago, and she says, oh, you're having first spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's so early.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And she says, well, don't really talk to me about spring until you get to fourth spring. Sometime in the beginning of May.
Beginning of May. But then at the end of May, it always like frosts over and you can never get your garden going.
No. I have that late years has now frosted over. Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not where we live. We're up on Chena Ridge.
Okay.
We're frost free up there. You used to have to wait till June to really get your garden going, but we get our we're just planting flowers right now because I don't want to be a slave to vegetables. I love them, but I'd rather just buy them. Anyways, we do flowers though, and we get flowers in mid-May.
Okay.
Every year.
Nice.
And they grow, and everything's hunky dory. No. There's hope.
We're on the home stretch here.
We're getting that solar gain. Yeah. So life's good.
Yeah, I think there's like 15 more days till technical spring. So we're almost there.
Well, by the time this show comes on,
yeah,
we'll be into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
topic. Let's talk about insulin resistance.
Oh, yeah.
It comes up. I have had, you know, I always have some patients that are doing this. There's not a week that goes by that I don't have some patient that has, in fact, insulin resistance. But I thought it'd be, I had one today, so that comes up to mind. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about what insulin resistance is, what it means, how it affects people. I mean, we talk about it, and you know, a lot of people know a lot about it, but I don't know, it might be worth going into.
I think so. I think, there's a significant amount of people out there.
Yeah, so let's just talk about what it is. What is insulin resistance? Insulin resistance is when your cells resist the effect of insulin.
Not that your body doesn't make enough of it, but that your cells are just resisting it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So what happens is, okay, what is, first of all, let's talk about insulin resistance. You have to talk about what insulin does when it's not being resisted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what insulin does is it triggers an opening in the walls of cells that allows glucose to enter the cell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all cells are under the influence of insulin. There's some, like, you know, brain cells can work around it and liver cells can work around it. And there's some cells that have specialized situations where they could function no matter what insulin or not. They just know what they're doing. But the majority of our body cells must have insulin to get the sugar in. Now, if you don't have any insulin, then you can't get the sugar into those cells, the majority of cells in your body. And so the sugar stays outside of the cell. The cell basically starves to death, and you have type 1 diabetes, and you're not long for the planet. Type 1 diabetes absolutely positively must be treated with insulin. You have to take insulin because insulin is required for our bodies to work correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about that. That's diabetes, type 1 diabetes, and that is not under discussion. What we're talking about is in a situation where your body makes insulin, we'll call it plenty of insulin just for the sake of argument. There's some exceptions, but for most people, it's plenty of insulin. And that insulin goes over to the cell and knocks on the cell and says, please allow this glucose to enter. And the cell says, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any. It resists the encouragement from the insulin. Uh-huh.
Huh.
Now you think about what happens there. Well, the sugar stays on the outside of the cell, not on the inside. Didn't go in. Mm-hmm. It's on the outside. So if you check your blood sugars, they're high.
It's in your blood. It's not in...
It's in your blood. It's not in your cells.
Okay.
Now, why... It just seems like a crazy thing. Why would a cell not want to have glucose in it? Can you think of any reason?
Not off the top of my head.
Well, let me help you. When I tell you, you're going to go, oh, yeah. Let's say that cell is already full. It's got plenty.
But does it?
Yeah, yes. Insulin resistance is about cells having enough. They're already good. No, thank you. I've had some.
So does that mean they're taking in too much glucose?
Yeah, basically it's Thanksgiving and you've had three pieces of pie and somebody tries to foist another one on you and you say, no. I couldn't eat another bite. You're a cell experiencing insulin resistance. Okay. Insulin is the name of your aunt.
Uh-huh. And insulin.
Yeah, she's trying to foist some pie on you and you're going, no, I'm good. I don't need any more. There it is. Now, we just did the show.
Oh.
That's insulin resistance.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is.
Join us next time.
Your cells are too full. They don't want any. Huh?
Okay.
Now, that's interesting. Well, I never thought of it that way. Well, you should start thinking of it that way because that's what it is. So how would I treat insulin resistance? Think about it. How could you treat insulin resistance?
By taking in less glucose?
Well, yeah. And so now your cells are hungry after a day or two. And now your insulin resistance goes away. There's this thing where you don't get glucose.
Mm-hmm.
There's a name for that. It's called fasting.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or dieting.
Sure.
You could fast and your insulin resistance will go away.
People who have been insulin resistant for years?
Now, let's talk about the insulin resistance for years. Let's go back to the early stage insulin resistance. No, thank you. I'm full. Uh-huh. Except for we got these heaps and piles of sugar out here. Glucose is running thick. We got to get this inside the cells. Otherwise, this is going to wreak havoc out here. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So what your body does is it doesn't knock politely. And maybe would you please take some glucose? It goes, gets another two or three insulins.
Uh-huh.
They come to the cell and they start banging on the door like a cop knock. Bam, 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 bam. You got to get this insulin in here.
Uh-huh.
Really? So insulin resistance, at least early mid phase, is excess insulin. Since their cells are resisting insulin, the body recruits more. The beta cells that make insulin go into overtime and start overproducing insulin. And now insulin levels go up.
Mm.
That's how you can find insulin resistance, by doing a test and checking people's insulin. And the insulin will be high, not low. The blood sugars will be high and the insulin levels be high. This is classic for insulin resistance. Now, 20 years later, 30 years later,
mm-hmm.
the beta cells are burned out. They've been overproducing insulin for years, and they just their metabolism can't take it. And so they break down, and now they can't make insulin.
Mm.
Their amount of insulin they can make is decreased. Now, somebody used to have insulin resistance. At this point, they have frank diabetes, and they may actually need to take insulin because they're not making enough.
That's frank diabetes.
That is diabetes. It's a solid, regular diabetes.
Got it.
Looking at it, that's diabetes.
That's frank.
That's not a funny, weird kind of diabetes.
I thought
it's
might
a diabetes
have been.
If you squint your eyes and turn your head sideways and think, well, is that diabetes? Right?
No. You can recognize it.
Yeah. It says diabetes.
Okay.
My name is Frank and I have diabetes, right? Yeah, like that. Frank diabetes.
Got it.
So the insulin resistance is a story that has a beginning, a middle, and the end. And the end is insulin breaks. The beginning, though, is, no, thank you, I'm full. I don't want any more sugar. And so the problem is there's too much. Now, there's good and sufficient reasons why your cells wouldn't want to have sugar. Sugar is damaging, and the cells know it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they let any old amount of sugar come on in, now their cells being wrecked on the inside because sugar is sticky,
mm-hmm.
not just on your plate, but in molecularly, it sticks to stuff. You get these sugars attaching to things, and it's called glycosylation. Mm. And if you get lots and lots and lots of this glycosylation, you get advanced glycosylated end products, otherwise known as AGEs, otherwise known as age. And that's exactly what you do. You age rapidly.
Wow.
Based on the accumulation of these advanced glycosylated end products.
Okay.
Okay, so glycosylation is trouble.
Mm.
It's a mess. And no one wants it. And if you do get it, now you got a problem on your hands because you got to scrape the sugar off or replace the piece that it's attached to or any number of problems. Now, it's a two-edged sword because we need the glucose because it burns beautifully. It goes right into cellular machinery. We can burn it for calories. We can get stuff done. Generates ATP, da-da-da-da-da, a bunch of stuff here. So it's super useful. So it's got to be regulated. It's got to be controlled. It cannot be either too high or too low. This is what our whole system's set up to do, is to keep your blood sugars in the normal range. There it is, in your blood, ready to go. You got to go do something. You got to dig a ditch this weekend. Thank goodness you got sugar in your blood. Now you can dig that ditch, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever you're doing, you know, to paint a watercolor. Seriously, anything you're going to do is going to require you burning some amount of sugar.
Okay.
To get that job done. Unless you're starving, then you can burn ketones. But this is a radio. I can't go into every exception, right?
Right.
Generally speaking, normal person, 99 out of 100 are using sugar, not using ketones. So sugar's super useful. Your sugar levels go too high, now you're gumming up the works. Now sugar's attaching to things that it should not attach to, and now those bits don't work right anymore. So if you want to know what kind of parts of your body are particularly sensitive to the effects of sugar, then just think about what diabetics get.
Mm-hmm.
They get blind, so your eyes.
They get
kidney failure, so your kidneys.
Neurosis.
You get peripheral neuropathy, so that's your nerves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You just go down the list of diseases that diabetics get. Now you know exactly what parts of your body are most sensitive to the effects of that sugarification.
Okay.
Yeah, I made that word up. It's actually called glycosylation.
Sugarification is easy enough.
Uh-huh. So insulin resistance. There's a good reason why your cells would be resistant to insulin. No, I don't want sugar. No sugar, please. So now how do you treat insulin resistance? Here's the thing. Once you start eating sugar, you like it.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
It's so good.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You feel satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have any sugar, you feel like, I ate, but I didn't, I'm not good.
Well, yeah, or like, where's my energy? Or where's my motivation to live?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter said, I have two stomachs. I have a food stomach and I have a dessert stomach.
Mm-hmm.
My dessert stomach is still empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that every night.
Yeah, because we like sugar. We're programmed to like sugar in nature. And when we're living on nuts and berries and twigs and leaves, right? The ones that are sweet, those are the best.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, for real. Those are actually the best. They're the healthiest. They're the best for you. They're the ones we are programmed to go out and find. It's called a Brax score. Vegetation that's got a high Brax score is better and more healthy than vegetation that's got a low Brax score. Uh-huh.
Mm.
So you need to find the stuff that's sweet. Except for, that has been wrecked long ago because food manufacturers figured out how to scrape that sugar bit right out of the food and concentrate it. And now it's called Skittles.
Yeah.
Or Ho-Hos.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cinnabon or whatever. There's a lot of names for this. And it's food. It's things that look like food, but they're not.
No.
They're concentrated food to appeal to our instincts is what they are. Now we're full. Now we've eaten too many. I mean, I ate a Cinnabon once like 20 years ago, and I was wasted. I mean, that thing absolutely flooded
out of you.
Flooded my system with sugar. No, Dr. Looper, cinnamon's good for blood sugar balancing. Yeah, not that good.
Not that sugar. Not mixed with cream cheese frosting.
Yeah.
I've been making cinnamon rolls with a friend.
Brought them into the clinic. I had to ban them from the clinic. Mm-hmm. I don't have so much willpower. I can't avoid these things.
Well, now I'm going on this bodybuilding diet, so.
Excellent.
I won't be bringing those in.
Okay, so the problem is we have an instinct for sugar. We like sugar. We feel good with sugar. We eat foods that are either have a lot of sugar in them, or they're easily converted into sugar. Those are carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So pasta, bread, English muffins, you know, breakfast cereal, whatever, those kinds of things, they're easily converted into sugar, and they give us a sense of satisfaction.
What about oatmeal?
Yeah, oatmeal is a little bit different. It does have carbs in it, but it's got a lot of fiber in it.
Complex,
I mean, come on,
carb.
Oatmeal is just oozing with fiber. All that goo, that's fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets in the way. So oatmeal won't shoot your blood sugars up as much as toast.
Sure, because there's more fiber.
Now, admittedly, if you eat, you know, three large bowls of oatmeal, your blood sugars are going up because there's no stopping it. And
but
you eat one little half piece of toast, it maybe not do much to your blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
The toast converts into blood sugar much easier than the oatmeal. But if you eat enough oatmeal, it'll make up for it.
Okay.
Okay, just so we're clear on this.
Yeah.
Amounts, they count.
Yeah.
How much you're eating counts.
Absolutely.
As how much your blood sugar is going up. So let's go back a little more technical about this in terms of this insulin resistance. Yeah, actually, let me just back up a little bit and say, why do we even care? We did say why we care, because the sugar attaches to things. So if the sugar levels are too high, it's wreaking havoc with the cellular machinery. And now, aside from that, it's also making you fat.
Mm-hmm.
See, insulin, its main job is to get sugar to go into cells so those cells will store it.
Right.
So the fat cells just take that sugar and they convert it into fat, and now you've got these big piles of fat going around, which is great if you're going to starve at some point, but who starves? Nobody starves.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no one to be around here.
Right.
Knock on wood, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not. This is me knocking.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness we don't.
Yes.
Right? But right now we don't. So we have lots of extra fat on us that doesn't go anywhere and doesn't do anything. So it's not saving your life. It's actually getting in the way. You get enough fat on you, now you're into insulin resistance because your cells are full.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want any more.
Mm-hmm.
And now your blood sugar's running around in your bloodstream, attaching to random stuff, other cells, whatever. And now you got a problem with your blood sugars too high. So how do you tell you have this? It's not rocket science. It's super easy. First of all, you just kind of see these people from a distance. They tend to be thick. Their blood pressure tends to be higher. Their triglycerides, if you look at their blood tests, their triglycerides are high.
If you do a
their
urine
cholesterol
test,
is high.
Is their glucose higher in their
it
urine?
It could be. If they're in the middle of having a lot of glucose in their system, they'll start spilling glucose into their urine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can get that bad. If your blood sugars get above 180, you're going to start peeing sugar is what you're going to do. So, but how can you tell if it's subtle? It's not obvious like that. It's real easy, actually. What you do is you give people a bottle of glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Like we have those in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have them chug it, and then you check their blood sugars. Now, what you look for is two things. You look for the blood sugar curve. It tends to go too high and stay high for too long. And you measure their insulin at the same time. And the insulin levels will go too high. This is an early phase. People have insulin resistance and they're still young and full of vigor. They can make a lot of extra insulin. That'll get the sugar out of their bloodstream, but the insulin levels went too high. So those people, the blood sugar curve is not as big, but the insulin levels go really high. They'll be double or triple of what they should be, or even quadruple or quintuple. I've seen numbers that are that high before.
And how do you check the insulin levels?
With a blood test. Same with it doing the blood sugar.
Okay.
You can do it. You do a blood draw, and you look at the blood sugar, and you look at the insulin at the same time.
And with this test, they're in clinic for a certain amount of time.
The way you do it is you have to check them for 3 hours minimum, sometimes four. So you do a fasting just to see what we start with, right, just for comparison. Then you have them chug your bottle of glucose,
mm-hmm.
and then you check at 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 120 minutes, 180 minutes, that's the minimum. Okay. Sometimes I'll go longer, depending. If I think somebody's got a problem that runs out a little bit longer, I'll run them out for 4 hours. So at the 30 minutes and then 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, like that.
Okay.
That's what you do, and that's how you can tell. Pregnant ladies have done this because they use this to check for gestational diabetes. It's a standard test for that.
I don't remember getting my blood drawn 3 hours or even being there for 3 hours. I remember it being like an hour test, maybe.
It can be. They could do a shorter version of it. But for our purposes, we absolutely need the 3 hours.
Okay.
I'm looking for a particular curve. These have already been worked out. The research has already been done on this. And so you look at that curve, and you can tell what somebody has based on the curve.
Okay.
And that's weird. Oh, geez, are you going to get me doing the whole long thing about these
so
curves?
Sorry.
There's too much detail to go into. Let me say there's biphasic curves where the curve goes up, comes down, and comes up again. That shows a certain kind of insulin resistance that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
You get this extra surge of sugar. The insulin gets blocked is what it does. The initial insulin, oh, geez, this is too much information.
So circling back.
Big picture. You can do a blood test
okay. And
find out if you have insulin resistance. If you do, this is useful information because if you have insulin resistance, you're on the fast track to diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stage along the way.
This is a precursor
to
diabetes.
Precursor for it. In fact, it is diabetes. I mean, that's not a precursor. There's many people with insulin resistance that just have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it take to get diabetes, to know you have diabetes? Well, you have to pass a test or fail a test, however you want to say it. Your blood sugars need to be, fasting blood sugars need to be above 120. Normally, they should be running around 90, 95. Above 120, twice. Once is not enough, twice. That's the official diagnosis for diabetes. Another way to do this since the mid-90s is to look at your A1C, and this is actually the more common way to diagnose people with diabetes now. If your blood sugars are higher than a 6.5 on an A1C, then you have diabetes. It should be running below 5.3. The normal range goes as high as 5.7, which is too high. You're actually taking damage from your sugar. Anything
A1C is in like the 11s.
Who's? Oh, yeah, that's right. So the thing about this is the A1C measures how much sugarification, remember this is glycosylation we're talking about, that and we can just tell how much stickiness is going on. More stickiness, more damage.
Mm.
Now, you can take stickiness for a while, but you do it for very long and you fall apart.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why the patient we're thinking of right here has come to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're figuring this all out. This one's not insulin resistance. This one is insulin doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at on this patient. It's gone beyond the insulin resistance. Remember I tell you, to a certain point, your body cranks out tons of insulin. Then after a while, it just gets tired. It can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The cells literally are not designed to function at that high level, and they break down. They kill themselves from antioxidant production from their metabolism. Their mitochondria run so hot and heavy that they burn themselves out.
Okay.
And now the cell doesn't work anymore. And at that point, you need to take insulin. There's no way you could get treated without actually doing insulin injections.
So in the last few minutes of the show, do you want to go over some of the treatments for insulin?
Yeah, that's good. Exactly. Yes. So the treatments all seem like self-evident to me. It's like you listen to the show, you already know what the treatment is. It's easy to figure out. So what are the treatments? Your cells are too full of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Quit eating sugar.
There you go.
Now you're hungry for sugar,
fast.
Right? Yeah, fasting is the quickest, best thing to treat insulin resistance. Seriously. But who can fast? It's hard to fast. You can't eat anything. Are you crazy for how long? So here's what I recommend you do. I recommend that you periodically fast and you miss a meal, let's say 3 days a week. That's a good start.
Okay.
Don't eat breakfast 3 days a week. Don't eat dinner 3 days a week. So you go through an 18 hours of not eating anything
okay. Every
so often. Most of the time, that'll just solve the problem.
Sure.
Just fixes it. Because now the cells aren't full of sugar anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've
hungry
got a chance to use their sugar up. Yeah. So here's another thing you do. I said avoid sugar. What I really meant to say was, I used the wrong word. I said cut down on carbs.
Right.
Because carbs turn into sugar.
Consume the like appropriate carbs.
Yeah, it's slow carbs. Mm-hmm. You can still eat carbs. You just have to switch to the slow kind.
So
if you take those carbs and you mix them with enough fiber, now it slows down your blood sugar rise. And so you don't get the blood sugars as high as they were before. So how do you do that? Well, you eat your sugar in the carrot form, mm-hmm. right? Or in the apple form. Mm-hmm. You're not
or
doing apple juice.
Form.
Yeah, green banana form, right? Use, again, carbs. There's plenty of carbs there. But they're in a form that doesn't let your blood sugars go skyrocketing high. So generally speaking, you eat your food with lots of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And that, if it's a highly fibrous food, that will help keep your blood sugars even.
I think that we need to add to our eat right, exercise.
And take fiber.
And take fiber, yeah. Sleep and take fiber.
Right. Now, I don't necessarily, I'm not a fan of taking anything. I don't really like taking stuff.
Sure.
So I'd rather just get my fiber naturally,
mm-hmm.
right, and just eat it. Because it comes with the fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back to fruits and vegetables. We're eat right and exercise.
Yeah.
And now what about the exercise part? Yes, exercise. Very good. Now, if your cells are all full of sugar and they're saying, no, I'm full, I don't want any more, then you can use that sugar up. You can actually burn it.
Mm.
Now, particularly if it's in your muscles, it makes it easy. So you can exercise. There's the good news. Here's the bad news. Dang, if our cells aren't super efficient about how they burn sugar, they just burn it super slow and super microscopic amounts. You have to exercise like a fiend for hours
mm-hmm.
to get your blood sugars to come down. You got to exercise at your full maximum aerobic capacity for an hour and a half to put a dent on your blood sugars. No kidding. If you want to do something efficient like ride a bike, you are 3 hours into the ride before your blood sugars are significantly decreased, where your insulin resistance is altered. So it's, yes, exercise can work. The problem is you have to pretty much go at the exercise hungry to begin with if you want to, if you have any chance of getting very far. Either that or you have to do it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Here's the rub on this one. At some point, I'm sorry to tell you this, you're going to have to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to treat insulin resistance without experiencing hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know of. I just don't know any way to do it. You just have to be hungry at some point. Now the question is, when am I going to be hungry? You just have to pick your hungry time. You're going to have to miss a meal. You're going to have to exercise when you haven't eaten enough. You're going to have to do things like that. Now, here's the thing. If you over-exercise and you don't eat for very long periods of time, your blood sugars not only will come down, they'll come down too low. You can get to the point where your blood sugars are really too low. And you're exhausted and you're lightheaded and you feel funny and you feel weird and all of that. Yeah, that's too much. Less than that.
Okay.
Don't do that. That's suffering. We don't need to suffer much, right? To some extent, but not that much. Now, this is common sense. It really is. When you think about it, it's all common sense. When I describe it the way I do, it makes good sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat so much. Exercise enough to get your blood sugars down. Miss a meal occasionally, and your insulin resistance will go away. It's not that hard to figure. Actually, it's pretty simple. Now, you can always come in and see us. We'd be glad to talk to you and work with you. One of the things that's been a godsend on helping this whole thing is those continuous glucose monitors, because now you can see the numbers. Short of that, who knows what the number is? I don't know what my blood sugar is. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But you run a continuous glucose monitor, and the light of day has turned on. Everything's in black and white.
Thank you, technology.
Yeah, I know. This is fabulous. I mean, I'll tell you, but people complain about modern times and how everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, except for when it comes to continuous glucose monitors. We live in a better world. What modern, fabulous times we live in, right? It's like that.
Well, anything before we hop off, Dr. Looper?
It keep hope. There's always a way to treat it. It's not that hard. It's really, it kind of came off as like of a bummer of a conversation today. You know, life sucks and then you die.
And you have to fast and you're miserable.
It's full of promise and hope. It really is. Promise and hope. And the other thing, too, is you don't have to be perfect every minute of every day for the rest of your life. You just have to be good enough. Well, what's good enough? About 90%. You run 90%, you got it figured. You're running, 60%, man, maybe not, right?
Mm, yeah.
And 100%, well, now you're crazy. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you again so much. I know this is probably very helpful to some of our listeners out there. If, again, you're interested in talking with Dr. Looper more, you can always come down to the clinic. We are located downtown in the Key Bank building. Our phone number is 907-452-3600. Stay tuned to KFAR for Craig Campo's Outdoor Show next. This has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Haley Fields, Clinic Director of White Spruce Medical. Hopefully you'll be with us again next week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.